Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. Always enjoy coming down here. Sorry I had to pull out at quite short notice last week, but I'm here today. Thank you for those that covered for me last week. So the exhortation today I've entitled Superiority and Exclusiveness. Not good qualities for a follower of Jesus to have and or to exhibit. And I assert without any doubt that Jesus was the most inclusive and humble person to have ever lived. And the reason I make that assertion is, how else could he have performed and achieved in his God-appointed mission, the suffering servant and thus saviour of the world? Two of my favourite parables are the lost parables read today from Luke 15 and the Good Samaritan read during the week from Luke 10. You are no doubt familiar with them both. But today I'm going to try to use them as a basis to illustrate that exclusive and superior behaviours are mightily discouraged by Jesus. Let's briefly summarise the Good Samaritan parable. We don't have any trouble working out the ethnicity of the priest and the Levite, do we? Nor do we have any issue with the ethnicity of the Good Samaritan. But here's a thought question for you. What was the ethnicity of the innocent traveller who was attacked and left for dead? Correct, the record doesn't tell us, and so we can't be absolutely true or sure. But in the story, he was ethnically something. I like to think he was Jewish. He had left from Jerusalem on his journey. Sure, not conclusive proof. But I believe him being Jewish fits the story. And it fits in with how the so-called pure or blue-blooded Jews felt and thought about all others, and especially mixed-blooded Samaritans. Both the priest and the Levite saw him, left badly beaten on the roadside. Both made conscious decisions not to help. Reasons not told, and for this purpose not important. What is important was that their job description had them helping others at the top of their list. They failed to carry out this fundamental God-appointed task. It took a despised Samaritan to show them what and how to do it. And if he hadn't, the beaten-up traveller would have died. That is why I think the traveller in the story was Jewish. The Jewish so-called leaders were failing at the basics of their appointed duties. Superior and exclusive thinking about who we are or what our backgrounds have been or are can exclude or prevent us from viewing Jesus properly. All parables have lessons for the hearers, for whatever era they might live. And now to the lost parables. The summary finding of the lost parables in all three, I think, is this. These are the two main things: repentance and rejoicing and celebration, no matter what. That these are the main points of all three parables, I would suggest. And also to seek earnestly to find the lost, to recover it unconditionally, and to celebrate that finding. The third in the sequence of lost parables is the lost son. And have you noticed how parables usually have some quite extreme or exaggerated elements in them? And this lost son parable, I think, is a good example. For example, what loving father would give an immature son the early rights to an inheritance when there was a strong indication that once he cashed it up, he would spend the proceeds foolishly? Dwelling on the unsavoury details of the young son's spend of the proceeds is not that positive. What we need to focus on, I believe, is when he came to his senses. And I just noticed that that's how the Good News Bible rendered that. After he had reached rock bottom, he realized that a servant in his father's household was in a better place than he was. And he did everything humanly possible to get back home, to be just that, a servant in his father's household. It took a lot of determination on his part, problem solving to get back home. Remember, he had no money. But the lost son was prepared and determined to expend all to achieve his goal. In today's terms, the rich father could have employed people to go and search for him. That didn't happen. Likewise, he could have sent transportation to bring him home. That didn't happen. What happened was the father was waiting patiently, watching constantly, and praying regularly for the lost son's safe return. The father was doing his part. It required the son to do his part. And when he decided to, it was all hands to the plough. The reuniting of the father and son, as recorded, is rather beautiful and appropriately spiritual. The father, when he saw him afar, a great way off, immediately ran out to embrace him. Although no doubt he heard his sincere cries of repentance, he doesn't comment on them. A big celebration is initiated. The lost son has been found, echoes out to everywhere. But now I want to focus on the stay-at-home older son. Self-righteous, grumpy, very, very jealous, for starters. He asked one of his father's servants, "What's all the noise about?" As if he didn't know. He certainly now knows, because the father's servants servant clearly tells him. Now notice his statements and reactions. The father comes personally out to beg him to join in the celebrations. The eldest son flatly refuses the pleading of his father. The son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes. I've always obeyed you. He's certainly not now. The elder son accuses the father of never putting on a party so he could enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season with his friends. This clearly shows where his heart lay. The father confirms and pledges all that he has would be the eldest son's. He'd only given a third to the younger son. The father then concludes, "The son of mine and brother of yours who was lost is found. It is right and proper that we celebrate his return." The parable story ends with the status of the elder son left up in the air. But what I want to do now is to reflect upon Jesus, one who could teach the unteachable, literally, figuratively, and spiritually. One who could reach the unreachable, literally, figuratively, and spiritually. One who could touch the untouchable, literally, figuratively, spiritually. One who could love the unlovable, literally, figuratively, spiritually. We come again to celebrate and rejoice in what God and his Son, working together in love, have done for us. Opening up a new and living way, confirmed by God, in raising to life his righteous Son, Jesus. The grave could not hold him, the Old Testament declared. And it won't hold us either if we determine to follow in the footsteps of Jesus.